buckle up. It's showtime.
It is an illusion. A comforting lie told to protect you. Enjoy these final moments, for I have returned. So, shall we begin?
All right, ladies, buckle up! It's showtime!
So we just released report details of Bush administration cover-up after an ambassador and three other Americans were killed by Al-Qaeda-affiliated terrorists. Secretary of State Condi Rice came up with a story to blame a video maker for the riot that led to the deaths. Except there was no riot. In fact, Vice President Cheney was in the Situation Room with President Bush and Secretary Rumsfeld as the whole scene unfolded, conning Ambassador John Bolton into going on those Sunday shows. Meanwhile, Senators Clinton, Obama, and Kerry all demand to know why Bush chose to blame our First Amendment when he knew all along the video didn't cause the attack. Meanwhile, Newsweek and similar drugstore brochures demand special prosecutors and resignations. The HBO film directed by Sean Penn called Blood on Your Hands wins an Emmy. The musical Bullets Over Benghazi garners a Tony. The 50,000-word poem by James Franco, though awful, wins a Pulitzer. The whole thing is bigger than Watergate, Watergate, and Watergate combined. My point, reverse parties and you can predict the media explosion. But instead, we got a slobbering mess marginalizing an attack to ensure a re-election, which is why a filmmaker remains in jail without the ACLU ever raising a finger. Hillary's treated like royalty for failing, and terrorists remain at large. The lesson, in the media's world, Democrats and libs get to blame others, while Republicans and conservatives, they just get the blame.
Brilliant monologue, the great Greg Gutfeld of Fox's The Five. It is January 23rd, 2013, just 2 days away from the final show on blogtalkradio.com in our one-month hiatus after a year on Blog Talk Radio. We had a great time, but we'll talk about that in another point. It's time to move on. We do one thing for a year, we move on, and we expand the ReSun Radio brand. And that's what it is that we do here, folks. We've got plenty of stuff to get into today. We have to get into the Benghazi hearings today, Hillary Clinton, lackluster. To be honest with you, I'm sick and tired of putting my stake into things that I'm anticipating coming out, waiting. There we are, with bated breath, waiting for all of this to go down, and nothing happens. Whatever. So we'll get into some of the highlights. I don't know, Hillary Clinton's indignation of asking about her constant claims that this was a result of a video on September 11th and how she lashed back. We'll play that audio. Everybody in the country is playing that audio. We'll also talk about everybody who is pretty much grandstanding on the left and the right and how disappointed I am about that. We'll get into that as well. Beyonce Gate. The plot thickens, ladies and gentlemen. The plot thickens on Beyonce Gate. After everyone was trying to scramble, talking about, so what? It was her voice and all that stuff. Oh, new evidence has come out. New evidence has come out why Beyonce played an audio track instead of singing live. The reason may surprise you. It may not surprise you. But we'll get into that. As well. What else do we got going on? Let me see. Oh, that's right. I mustn't forget. Dan Joseph, MRC TV, the Media Research Center, has another video that came out today at the Obama inauguration. This one's a doozy, folks. This one is a doozy. I won't even tell you what it is, but you'll also be surprised about that. We got that. Maite Teo, of course, he spoke to Katie Couric. I've got some beef with that. Not so much about Maite Teo, fine, he's come out, he's exposed, he said he lied, and that's all bit, but you know, I'd like to dig a little deeper into, I guess, this new, sort of byproduct of confessing your sins and why they're doing it in the fashion that they're doing it. We'll investigate that a little more. I wanted to play something for Sally B, up in Massachusetts. He's an LL Cool J fan. So if he's listening, I wanted to play something. I don't know whether or not he's familiar with this, but I wanted to play this for him. He mentioned something about a song that I played yesterday that sounded very LL Cool J-ish. But I want to play two songs that are complete contrasts of the characters that you see in movies and television today by two significant rappers turned actors. And that's LL Cool J and Queen Latifah. I want to play these two tracks because a lot of people, you know they were into rap, and, you know, the transformation from hip-hop to acting usually is because the person is somewhat marketable within mainstream America. But they do have what I would consider checkered past in the music business. Let's just say they've said some very eye-raising things in music lyrics. So I want to play these two songs. The first one by LL Cool J, Sally D. I dedicate this one to you. I don't know if you've ever heard it before, but this is a rather, let's just say a rougher LL Cool J that you probably never heard before. We'll do that. We'll come back. We'll get into Beyonce. We'll get that out of the way real quick, and then we'll get into Hillary Clinton when we return. Stick around. It's Reset Radio right here on the last week on Blog Talk Radio. We'll see you in a sec.
NFL players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
Name calling hasn't fallen into what I'm running. I want it just another system like you had it coming. Name calling hasn't fallen into what I'm running. I want it just another system like you had it coming. Name calling hasn't fallen into what I'm running. I want it just another system like you had it coming. Name calling hasn't fallen into what I'm running. I want it just another system like you had it coming. Hold my Heineken pack, see I'm about to get the chalk. Bitches that think they hard get snuff, fuck a bodyguard. They need to shut the fuck up or step to me. All they could do is be mad at me, bitch, don't threaten me. Niggas don't know I'm nice with these. Nice you with pay these. The price with these. Price combined with these. Prices, you like me. You couldn't see me if you looked at my life like memory. Your style is cheesy. How you want beef? You dairy. Better be wary, cause if it's necessary, we shoot the joints, I'll leave your son a fault to fairy. And all your rappers selling more sex than skill. Kill, I'll rip your style. Oh, the wow, keep my sex appeal. Don't get it twisted, yo, I never really favored you. And I was raised by my niggas from the flavor you. So fuck giving props where they ain't due. Fuck you and the nigga who wrote the rhyme for you too. I get hot when you play my spot, you get laid like rough. And you'll never be the woman that your father was. Stop flirting with my last nerve and head south. Next bitch say something word going in your mouth. Couldn't come up if she was getting fucked on the elevator. But you thought I wouldn't check your chin. Thought I was your fucking friend. See you in speak tonight, all that shit in. Don't act extra, where you from? I post on low income, I'm densome. Ready to leave your gums numb. Listen to you is like wax sex. A premature ejaculation. A quickie that gets me stressed. You doing it, but it don't thrill me. Bitch, you know you feel me. Don't get scared now, tell the face to real me. I'm ready to break my foot off in your anus. Ready to bring you some pain, yo. Coming up with that play, yo. Sound you stole. Try to mix it up and make it blitz. Sound like Lauren with a dash of Little Kim. We know bootleg Korean cop and scheming hoe. I know it's bootleg cause they misspelled Moschino. What's worse, you press on terror gear. I should buy your contract. Put your ass on hold for another year. You picked the wrong one, so bring your click. Now we can handle this like ladies or get into some more other shit. Name calling has it falling into what I'm running. I want you just another system.
Shit, but I get boogie quick thick with lyrics from toasting too many spirits. Fuck all these cheesy bum bitches faking these rich bitch. Niggas representing for these real live niggas. 96, what the deal? Chicks pimping they sex appeal. How you feel? Who got the steel now? Set up in your grill, about to go up in you raw. Saw you industry whore, never saw the light before. Now you modeling floors, overload your whole dome. When I rock shit like this, you can't flip, cause jigaboos be getting twisted. All that high shit that you be smoking got you bugging. Think that you can step to my crew, we be nut smuggling. Turning niggas into bitches like, what?
Reese on the Radio, back right here on blogtalkradio.com. That's right, Oscar Award nominee Queen Latifah back in 1996. the girl at the end of that was a rapper by the name of Nikki D. She had she was a one-hit wonder back then. But you can believe the language coming out of these people's mouths?
Move your microphone.
Oh, man, I'm sorry. Am I bubbling again?
You sounded like Nemo.
Oh, man, sorry about that. Can you believe these people, JC?
Who was at the end of that rap?
At the end of that rap was a rapper named Nikki D. She had a song
Nikki
called...
Oh, Nikki D, okay.
Yeah. What was the name of that song? Daddy's Girl?
I think it was...
Yeah, she had one hit.
Yeah.
And that was popular. She was part of that whole Naughty by Nature clique, too.
Yeah. That whole jersey.
Now,
Go on.
Do you know the interesting part about that song I played by Queen Latifah? It was a part of a soundtrack. Did you know that, JC?
No, I didn't. No.
Take a wild guess what soundtrack that was on.
What was the name of the song?
Name calling.
Wow.
It never played, the release of
Penitentiary?
It was from Set It Off.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like one of the middle tracks from Set It Off. It never made it into the film. She released it as a diss to Foxy Brown.
Yeah. That's when chicks used to get hot on wax.
Oh, yes, they did. Now, if you want to hear something great, man, I implore you to do it. Go online and find Name Calling Part 2. And what she does is, you probably remember Biggie Smalls did this track after, he did this mixtape song after Ready to Die, where he rhymes over all of the guys from the West Coast music.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Name Calling Part 2 is Queen Latifah doing the same thing. And she goes from Wu-Tang to West Coast beats. And I'll be honest with you, if you thought Name Calling Part 1 is raunchy, boy, you have to hear Part 2.
Listen, I mean, she's a cover girl now, and she's a little refined.
Oh, yeah.
But Queen was lyrically one of the best.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. When she was at her rawest, I mean, she went from Ladies First to UNITY, but, you know, in the middle of all of that, you know, going into, you know, doing the singing and the jazz music and all that other stuff, there are some really, really hardcore tracks by that woman. I think
people would be shocked at Queen.
Oh, yeah. That's what I said. That's why I played them. And the LL Cool J track, I know you heard that before.
Oh, I know little white ladies out in America. God, I love that NCIS stuff. If they heard some of his earlier lyrics, I don't know. They would probably want to see his earlier videos. They would think it would be a black strip video, a black stripper video.
I'll admit, though, because Sal always talks about the I try to tell Sal about that album, 14 Shots to the Dome. One of my favorite tracks on that was the remix to Pink Cookies in a Plastic Bag, which is a metaphor for having sex.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, Pink Cookies in a Plastic Bag being crushed by buildings, and everybody goes, what the hell is he talking about? if you listen to it, you get it. But what's brilliant about that song, Pink Cookies, what makes that song so great is that he's rapping using every rapper's name in the song, which is so, I mean, that's why I loved LL back in the days. Because you can talk about all the love songs that he ever did, but,
he did one. He did one love song, but that song is amazing that to this day it's so relevant in anybody's quiet storm, and it's the only rap song that can literally get played in a quiet storm.
Right, in a quiet storm, right, mix, exactly. It's phenomenal for that, but I look at that and I say, if you listen to a lot of the stuff that LL Cool J has done, I love a lot of his stuff. A lot of his B-side stuff that never really got a lot of play on radio, there's some stuff by LL Cool J I love, and it's none of the popular stuff. That's why I've always been a fan of his.
Right.
So I just wanted to play that. Okay, let's get into this real quick, folks. This is very, very important. So I can finally get off this subject matter. JC, have you heard the latest news about Beyonce?
Oh, Beyonce. But nonsense, as I like to call her. I know that she had threatened to not do the inaugural ball if she couldn't sing.
Right.
That's one rumor that I heard.
Well,
other than that, I try not to follow her too tough.
Here is the new breakdown, okay?
Mm-hmm.
An official says decision was made the night before Inauguration Day that Beyonce did not sing live. According to CNN, an inaugural official who asked not to be identified told CNN Wednesday that pop star Beyonce lip-synced her performance on Inauguration Day. She did not sing live, the official told CNN. A pre-recording of the artist's rendition of the national anthem was played instead. What was heard by spectators and viewers was the sound of that recording, according to the official. The official said Beyonce made the decision herself the night before Inauguration Day. Beyonce arrived so late Sunday, she did not have time to rehearse with the U.S. Marine Band, which was asked to accompany the pop star's performance, according to the inauguration official. Because she did not have time to rehearse with the Marine Band, she decided to use her recording with the Marine Band, the official added. It was all Beyonce. The official was somewhat puzzled by Beyonce's decision, noting when she made the pre-recording, she was spot on. She recorded her part separately from the band, and her rendition was married with the band's music. That's even worse. The tape performance should not take anything away from her skills as a live artist, the official said. She's actually a very good live singer, he added. CNN has still not received comment from Beyonce. So here it is, the inauguration of the President of the United States, the man that she's been running around talking about, you know, I love the Obamas, Michelle Obama is my role model, take that, bitches, the picture that she tweeted out after the election, you know, take that, bitches, or take that, bitches, which is what she was trying to say. All the love and adoration for the Obamas, and on Inauguration Day, where millions of people would be watching, this chick showed up late.
Can't be on time.
Can't be on time and phoned
CPT.
It. Say again?
CPT.
Yeah, CPT. CPT, the whole thing.
I wonder if they signed it to her.
If they signed her to sing the national anthem?
Well, somebody needed to. you hear her, Wendy was at work, and Wendy says she sounds like she's blind and like she's deaf in one ear when she speaks. Sounds like she's deaf in one ear. She speaks like she's deaf, and she speaks like she's got a third grade education. Well, I don't know who's dumber, her or Fantasia.
Oh, I think I'm going to go with Fantasia on that one. I'm not going to take anything away from this. Was just poor. This was just poor judgment on Beyonce's part. Let me read this thing from the New York Post today. This was posted about 5:19 p.m. actually today. It says Beyonce, everybody lip syncs. Fans are up in arms about Beyonce Gate, but the singer didn't think there was anything wrong with lip syncing the national anthem at the presidential inauguration Monday. U.S. Weekly reports. Paparazzi has done it. A source close to the singer tells the mag. It was freezing out, and if she messed up just one note, that would have been the story. The source even claims that the musical director advised Beyonce to go through the motions instead of singing live. She did sing, the source insists, but she used the track. But after Page Six was the first to expose her subterfuge, the source said Beyonce's down in the dumps, a technicality which everybody does, took away from the beauty of the moment. A technicality which everybody does. Now they're saying everybody does it. That's their excuse. Now everybody does it. What a big deal. So this shouldn't be taking, nothing should be taken away from her. But the Telegraph in UK, people are pissed.
No, but see, that's crazy because she does so well in her live performances. I mean, it's very rare you go to a concert and they sound as good as they do in studio.
Right.
She's one of the artists that she sounds better in person sometimes than she does on the record. And she's developed such a reputation for it that the very first time that she flubs up, I mean, this chick had fallen down a flight of stairs.
And kept going.
And didn't miss a beat. It was just poor time management.
Yeah,
it was poor time management. And they probably should have let her go on with the what's her name anyways. Because she could have made adjustments to the band.
Yeah, I mean,
She's just that talented.
Yeah, she's probably just that talented. But, you know, according to Neil McCormick, many people are saying what more people are ticked off about is that if she wants to turn around and say that everybody does it, then why didn't Kelly Clarkson do it? Did Kelly Clarkson show up on time? Did Kelly Clarkson prepare more? Did performing in front of the President of the United States seem more important to Kelly Clarkson than it did to Beyonce? Or will they argue that, oh, it's Kelly Clarkson. She had nothing better to do. Beyonce had other things. I mean, what will be the argument? And the bottom line here is that they keep trying to find excuses and excuses and excuses for her behavior. And the bottom line is that she phoned it in and just come in and say, I apologize. That's it. And just keep moving.
Late.
Yeah, of course it's too late. It's way too late.
Yeah.
I would have just said right off the bat, look, man, I did it. I showed up late. I did want to represent the President of the United States, but I couldn't do it. I screwed up. Please forgive me, and let's keep it moving. But coming up with this, everybody else does it, Kelly Clarkson didn't. And it makes
right.
Kelly Clarkson look like a pro. Kelly Clarkson's under the same condition. She's nervous. It's a big crowd. It's cold. And like I said in my midday show today, what are you trying to tell me? That Kelly Clarkson is a better pro than Beyonce? Kelly Clarkson's an American Idol winner.
Fall back.
But no. I'm saying that as hyperbole. I'm not saying that that's the case. I'm saying that if you were to take into consideration that Kelly Clarkson won a contest and then was groomed to be a performer, Beyonce was groomed from the start, since she was a little kid, to be a pro at this.
Oh, yeah.
Something
oh,
she was
question.
Trained to do.
Without question.
And
that's what I'm saying,
coming up with these excuses like it's cold and she was nervous and what if she had messed up, that's what it's all about, bitch. You go out there and you show people your crap, and if you screw up, you screw up. That just
you keep going.
Yeah, you keep moving. You fell down a flight
you're
of
human
steps.
At least.
That's what I'm saying. You're at a concert, you fall down a flight of steps, and you kept it moving. You didn't skip a beat.
I mean, she bust her ass coming down upstairs.
Hey,
listen. And she hit the stage face first.
Face first, dude. She face planted. As I like to say, she tried to break her fall with her eyelid. And she kept it moving. And
yeah.
I was going to sit up and tell me, it was cold. There was a lot of people there. Keep, you got to be kidding me. I'm not falling for this.
She busts her ass several times on stage. But, I mean, she get up and keep it moving. But, I mean, you really can't. You can't compare the talents because they're two tremendous talents. But I mean, someone who—and I consider myself a good judge of art and artistry—they both have their own their high points.
Right.
But in terms of what we in the hood like to call singing and singing, Kelly's got her beat.
Oh,
Kelly
really?
Clarkson, yeah, Kelly Clarkson sings.
I'm not saying that to be subversive towards Kelly Clarkson, but I'm just saying Kelly Clarkson, comparatively as far as this career being built up, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. The way they came up, yeah. But
the way they came up, Kelly Clarkson singing in church, real professional training on the level that Beyonce had. Beyonce got, you know, she got teachers and tutors and trainers.
Oh, she had that since she was a little girl, yeah.
Yeah, since
but
she was
Kelly,
a little girl.
Listen, Kelly will take you to church. Kelly will take you to church and have you burning holes in your shoes.
Yeah,
trust and believe.
Like I said, this is the last I'm gonna beat up on her. But I'm just sick and tired of don't turn around and try to excuse yourself on it. Oh, everybody does it, and they're trying to throw Pavarotti.
As ugly as Jay-Z is, and he got a shot, we're gonna beat up on her till we all get a shot.
Pavarotti, she threw in a dead man. Pavarotti, let that man rest in peace, bitch, please.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Hey, back on the phone with us, of course. Hasn't been here a long time. He's probably going to tell me shut up about this subject. White Mike, what's up, big man?
Well, first of all, dude, I got to agree with JC. Kelly Clarkson is so much better a performer and a vocalist than Beyonce. It's not even funny.
Yes, she is. She really is.
Yeah, Beyonce has gotten by with her squeaky-ass voice and all her strained runs because she's hot. and she danced on stage with two other hot bitches. Kelly Clarkson had to get by for the last 10 years as kind of chunky and getting by on her
portly
voice. Yeah, she's portly. And that girl sings as well or better than anybody I've ever heard. She's
right up there vocal-wise with Pink.
Okay,
I haven't heard a vocalist come along that can handle Kelly Clarkson like one-on-one in a very long time.
Yeah,
that's
I'll put Pink as a close second. Because Pink wails, man. She's like a classic rock singer type vocalist.
That's what I like about Pink as well as I like about Kelly Clarkson in this case. Because it is a part of the fact that, you know, if you notice when Pink first came out, she was a little pudgy. When she came out, she was kind of, not heavy, but, you know, kind of pudgy, as you guys say, and that stuff. Those are those big lungs. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They can belt out a tune. You know, you can always expect a big woman, to be able to belt them out. Martha Washington style. You know what I mean? Jennifer Holliday style. You know, those broads got big lungs, and they can belt them. That's exactly what I agree with here on this level. And that's as you just said, Kelly Clarkson, a natural talent who you barely have to groom that much. And that's why when she gets in a situation like this, when she's at the inauguration, she can just blow on cue. All you have to do is just say, hey, Kelly, can you sing Oh Beautiful? Without a doubt.
Look at how good she is, man. When she came out of high school, Clarkson was offered full-ride scholarships to UT at Austin, University of North Texas, and Berklee College of Music.
Wow.
Which is a big musical school. She turned him down to go do her own thing, recorded a demo, and turned down deals from Jive and Interscope. As she said, they were going to pigeonhole her as a bubblegum act. So she had more balls than Beyonce did.
There you go.
She was going to do her thing her way, whereas Beyonce put out, come on, dude, is Destiny's Child like a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame act? Have they put out anything that's of any credibility or lasting value at all?
No,
lightweight act.
As a group, I think they did pretty well.
I think the backstory is going to, once I throw
the Temptations, will do a lot better.
But JC, to Mike's point, I'll agree with this, and this is where Mike is spot on about this. It sort of solidifies what it is that I've been saying the most about popular music today, especially in the realm of Beyonce and Destiny's Child. The reason why Beyonce is coming out with a song or an album every time you turn around is because everything that woman drops is disposable. You know, it's nothing that stands the test of time. It'll last 6 months, it'll be a hot record, and people will forget it, so she's got to keep coming out. Kelly Clarkson doesn't have to do that because her music will stand the test of time because it has a longer range and has more meaning and it's much more impactful, where Beyonce, forget about it, she just gets in the studio, drops an album in a week, and then she's back 6 months later.
Beyonce kind of had to reinvent herself a little bit because at one point when she first left Destiny's Child and she was really, really hot, that's when Jermaine Dupri revived his own career, and Mariah Carey's at the same time with that Emancipation of Mimi.
Oh yeah, please don't even tell me about that album. One of the ones I hate the most.
But you gotta give her credit. She shut it down for about 2 years.
Yeah.
With that
Mary,
album.
Mary, why your bucket is on the line? Hey, Mary.
It's about damn time.
Sorry, my dear.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever.
We gotta get that call screener.
Kelly Clarkson is a much better singer than Beyonce. Beyonce's nothing but big ass, big hips. And she's not even that cute. I don't get what everybody
thinks. Oh, no, she's gorgeous.
She looks like a big ass giraffe.
She's an
JC, are you talking about Beyonce now that she like has become 6 shades whiter, or like early Beyonce when she was still kind of black?
I'm talking about any Beyonce.
If you look at her album cover...
I cannot stand her. You can look at any album cover. You can look at any pictures of her, whatever. Let's see her in the flesh. No makeup, no hair done, no nothing.
Well, she keeps getting whiter with every album cover.
Yeah.
Well, they all, I mean, they, I don't know, and I don't, you know, why was it the black woman at the inauguration that lip synced? Why wasn't she the one that showed her talent? Why would the white woman not have to lip sync?
Well,
and I've seen Kelly Clarkson in concert, and I heard her live, and I was right in front of her, VIP seats right in front of her, blow a cappella like there's no tomorrow. I couldn't even believe it.
Yeah.
And it's nothing like what's on her albums. It's nothing like what they put on the radio. How she sings a cappella, it is absolutely amazing. It gave me and the person I was with chills. And the person I was with definitely was not or would have never been a Kelly Clarkson fan had I not taken them to the concert to see Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson has the benefit that a lot of white artists have of not having the societal pressure from their peer group to only listen to a certain type of music. I'm
right.
sure Beyonce grew up listening to nothing but soul and R&B, whereas Kelly Clarkson's listening to country, she's listening to show tunes, she's listening to rock and roll and classical, and the girl just has a wider range of influences to pull from. I mean, she basically could be a country singer now if she wanted to and be probably the best country singer in the world. Could Beyonce pull that off?
She could be an R&B singer and be better than Beyonce.
Sure. But what's Beyonce going to do? Work with her limited range and shake her ass imitating Tina Turner and kind of have auto-tune all over her record?
And that's all that she does is shake her ass. And she ain't got no titties to really shake, not much.
Well, she got nothing to say.
Well, I'm saying something, I just got to give her credit. The girl, she does have talent. She can sing.
Yeah, but she has nothing to say, man.
I'm not saying the girl's not talented, that she can't sing, she can't dance. But who the hell are you? You're at the inauguration, for Christ's sake. You can't sing live. That's the one problem.
The problem is she just wanted to admit the fact that she screwed up and she was late. If she did that, all of this would go away.
Yeah, Mary, I know you didn't join us in the beginning, but the report just came out at about 5:15 this evening that the reason why Beyonce recorded the track is because she showed up late Sunday night. And she did not have enough rehearsal time, so she just sang the Star Spangled Banner, and the band had recorded their tracks, and they just melded the two. She didn't even sing with the band live when they recorded it. She didn't even sing with them and record it. They played the track in her ear, she sang, and then they just melded the two tracks. That's it. So
hold
it was all doctor.
How the hell are you on color time? When you're supposed to be practicing or rehearsing for inauguration, you know, for God, Jesus Christ, the second coming to get inaugurated back into office. I mean, give me a break.
That's right. This is your guy. That's what I was saying earlier. This is your guy.
And you show up to his shit late?
No respect. No respect.
I would have booted her ass out. I would have been like, oh no, you can't. Time you got to go. We got a replacement. Backup plan.
You know what? And it's interesting now with this report saying that she wasn't allowed to sing at the inaugural ball. I would have, if I was Michelle Obama and I found out that you showed up late at late night on Sunday to rehearse for tomorrow's event. This is your first rehearsal and you show up late the night before. And you want to perform at the inaugural ball? You're not a pro. I don't want you. I want this thing to go off without a hitch. There's no way you're showing up.
You realize Obama's probably tapping that, right?
I don't think that. You're so insane.
Really? You don't think he would rather tap Beyonce instead of that big Aunt Esther-looking chick that he's supposed to live with?
Dude, I'm sorry, but Michelle Obama. You know, has a decent shape, and, you know, she's a decent size, I guess, for most or whatever, but that face, god damn.
Yeah,
she got hit with an ugly chub.
But if you put white pants on her, you could show IMAX movies on her ass.
That's
some dudes, some, you could do that on Beyonce too, though. Come on now. So
I think Michelle Obama's ass had its own area code.
Its own security detail.
It's got its own gravitational pull.
She probably wears Obama like a thong.
Leave the Florida alone. No, but she's probably the best looking one we've had yet. Well, no, Jackie was fine.
What'd Jackie you say? Honey,
I said she's probably the best one we've had. Best looking one we've had yet.
JC, are you looking at her from the neck up?
What do you want me to put? Barbara Bush's head on her body?
How about Jackie Kennedy, bro?
Well, that's what I just said. Besides Jackie,
Jackie was classy too. That was
Jackie
classy
was hot.
Woman. Yeah,
how much class you want to give her? She was hot.
Michelle Obama is not attractive in her face. I'm sorry. I don't care what you do. She looks like a chipmunk that's storing nuts for the next 3 years in her face.
She
looks
like a Jane Goodall study, but I that would be disrespectful.
She looks like she could eat corn on the cob through a keyhole with that grill.
she looks like a Klingon.
Enough of that, guys. Enough.
All
right.
Let's
the truth, JC?
I got to take a break. All right, guys. We'll be back. We got to get into Benghazi.
My first beautiful.
Did you watch any of this Benghazi stuff?
No, I was working, bro.
Don't worry about it. I got the most I have the most dynamic comments that came out of Hillary Clinton's mouth. This broad had the nerve to be defiant. Wait till you hear this. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Give us about 5 minutes. We'll be right back at 3-7 Radio.
Thank you. apple of my eye.
Wake up!
Reese on the radio. We're back right here, blogtalkradio.com, January 23rd, 2012. All right, let me get to this audio real quick. This was the audio that everybody's talking about. Senator Ron Johnson, who was pretty much just asking Hillary Clinton the question that everyone wanted to know. Why in the hell was the Obama administration, the State Department, UN Ambassador Susan Rice, why did they keep talking about this video? Can we get to the bottom of this deal with the video, why the American people were told that? This is how she responded.
Not the fact.
But
and the American
know,
people could have known that within days, and they didn't know that.
With all due respect, the fact is we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make? It is our job to figure out what happened and do everything we can to prevent it from ever happening again, Senator. Now, honestly, I will do my best to answer your questions about this, but the fact is that people were trying in real time to get to the best information. The IC has a process, I understand, going with the other committees to explain how these talking points came out. But, you know, to be clear, it is, from my perspective, less important today, looking backwards, as to why these militants decided they did it than to find them and bring them to justice. And then maybe we'll figure out what was going on in the meantime.
Okay, thank you, Madam Secretary. Senator Shaheen.
That was it. So she says it's about finding out what went on and about how they were discussing this in real time. When everybody knows that in real time, everybody knew it was a terrorist attack. So in asking the question, why the hell did this turn out to be about a video, she didn't want to answer that. And she pushed back, and of course, NBC, ABC, is always in Hillary Clinton punching back, fighting back. Fighting back against what? Fighting back against what? She wasn't fighting back. She was avoiding. She was evading. But, I need to go over that story all over again. We know why she was doing it. What does that matter now? Why does that matter? Because you lied, bitch. Somebody lied. You went out there and you lied, and we want to know why. Now, from what I hear now, there is a strong possibility that after she leaves, she's going to introduce Senator John Kerry tomorrow as her replacement for Secretary of State. And I also hear now that they are going to subpoena her after the fact. And she'll be called back because there were a couple of contradictions in all this. Says she did not get the memo about security needed in Benghazi. Says she didn't hear anything about the other attacks that were going on in Benghazi with other ambassadors. Says she didn't know anything about it, didn't receive the memo. Oh, she reads thousands of emails a day. She just didn't see it, just didn't pay attention to it. And as Rand Paul said, if I was the president of the United States and I found out you didn't know anything about any of this, I'd have relieved your duty. You'd have been done. And she kind of, she smirked. She was upset. She knew. She knew. Yeah, she knew she should have been. It was like, how dare you? Who the F are you? I'm Hillary Clinton. Who the hell are you? You wouldn't have relieved nobody of duty. Get out of here. I'm about to be president of the United States. I'm going to give you hell when I show up here in 2016. What are you talking about, Willis? Let's bring in White Mike and Dennis the Mass Menace. Do you hear this, bitch? I can't believe this broad. What difference does it make at this point, Senator? Am I losing my mind, Dennis?
You lost your mind a long time ago. You're asking now?
Did you watch this whole day thing? Fox completely preempted all of their TV shows to cover this.
You know, she has a point.
Really?
Take the devil's advocate.
Okay.
Does it make any difference when your dead is still dead?
Yeah, that's
only
true.
In a strict strict, very strict lawyerly sense, and she's among the best in lawyers.
That
she's answering as a law professor, I would think.
That I agree with. She was a lawyer up there. She knew that she was literally, she's under oath, and she's in essence, you know, defending herself in a trial, if you will. You know, she's
it
being put on trial.
Is. Remember that?
Say that it? Oh, yeah. It depends on what the definition of is.
Mm-hmm. And also, the fact that perception's reality in this business of ours.
Right.
Just the clip of what she said, what difference does it make, makes her seem very callous, and you can kiss away 2016.
Because
the people, as you know, aren't going to be listening for nuances.
Do you think that that's going to hurt her in some sort of way, that she'll get some criticism behind
Absolutely.
That? I believe
Absolutely.
So,
Absolutely.
Yeah,
if a guy said it is one thing, but you've got to see, 4 years from now, she's going to be a hell of a lot older and aged. And the American populace is not going to put up from an old hag. I hate to say it, but that's the reality as they're going to see it. It says, you know, the Wicked Witch is saying, what difference does it make? And they're still kind of center-right, patriotic. The Obama administration in the election the past 8 years is really an aberration in American political history.
When you say that, what do you mean an aberration?
Because it's the president has gone beyond liked but adored by a certain segment of the population.
Right.
And once you get out of office and out of the limelight, out of the spotlight, and as former President Obama, then a lot more things are going to come off. So the emperor will show to have no new clothes. Sort of like the old Soviet Union. Every dictator there, every general secretary, every gensec, kept blaming his predecessor.
Oh, yeah.
Khrushchev blamed Stalin, Brezhnev blamed Khrushchev, and on and on. You know,
did Yeltsin blame Gorbachev?
Huh?
I don't remember Yeltsin blaming Gorbachev.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
They didn't like each other. They did
well, I know
like
they didn't
each
like
other
each other.
At all.
Yeah,
oh, and a little some local news. We had a big federal indictment today in Boston.
Please tell me who it was.
Michael McLaughlin.
Whoa. I know that name. Why do I know that name?
Yeah. Chelsea's director of public housing, former Methuen chief of staff, town manager, and also joined at a hip with Crash Murray, our lieutenant governor.
Really?
Yeah, because
he
said he was only making $150,000 as a salary, but he was making almost $300K.
Ooh, was it a side business?
No, as director of the housing authorities.
How the hell was he? Wait. All that stuff is supposed to be public knowledge.
Yeah, and they're charging him for falsifying the documents that he submitted to HUD.
Oh, my God.
He's facing 20.
Oh. Can they nail him?
Well, I don't know. I'm not in the jury.
No. I'm saying if you would have been... Okay, then speculate based on...
That's Carmen Ortiz, because she took a hit, as you know, last week.
Hmm.
Carmen Ortiz is the U.S. attorney. And she was going to... she had indicted or was going to indict this computer genius, this hacker who took his own life... And then she
MIT
said, I'm sorry, he did that, and we really weren't going to seek the max. Well, too late now. Abandoned contrition is of no use to the dead.
Yeah, that's the MIT kid. Is she suing the federal – is his family suing the federal government?
I don't know.
I think I heard that they are, because they're blaming the Attorney General's office – I mean, pretty much, it's literally, it's led all the way up to Eric Holder.
I mean, everybody has known about McLaughlin, but Coakley and her office never did a damn thing about it.
Well, he's
so
one of
this is all federal.
Isn't he one of theirs?
This is a federal thing. Huh?
But he's one of theirs, right? He's one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Howie Carr would always mention his name and put the parentheses D, Democrat, Winter Hill.
That's Howie for you. Hey, did our friend, why am I forgetting his name? Why would I forget his name?
I don't know. So you got a senior moment. What can I tell
you? I know.
You?
I have to see. Did Tom leave the morning show over at RKO yet?
I believe so, because Jeffrey Kuna is doing the morning.
So Todd Feinberg is gone.
I don't wake up that. I don't wake up till the crack of noon.
All right. Well, I'll check. Well, if that's the case.
I know Jeffrey Kuna is the morning for Fallon Finneran.
Yeah,
I do know
Jeff Kuhner's over there. I didn't know he was taking over the morning.
I mean, I knew somebody a little bit better that could do it. I mean, some guy that's some white guy in a black body.
I'm going to find out, but you wouldn't know now, but I'll find out from one of my guys if Cooksey is still producing the show over there. But now I got to get in touch with Tom now. Now that he won't have any beef, there won't be any beef about him, about him contacting me. Give me a hand.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I mean,
Yeah. All right. Anyway, we'll go to the top of the hour. Plenty of other stuff to get into. I got to get into this Maite Teo thing. And what it is that I'm seeing is a horrible trend.
It's not Maite, it's Manti.
Manti Teo.
M-A-N.
Whatever. Manti Teo. We'll get into that. I've got to bring this up because there's a trend that's happening now with pro athletes or with just celebrities in general that kind of baffling why people are doing it. Let's just say I'm not really happy about it. But we'll get into that top of the hour when we return. Reese on the radio.
Sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Details of Bush administration cover-up after an ambassador and three other Americans were killed by al-Qaeda-affiliated terrorists. Secretary of State Condi Rice came up with a story to blame a video maker for the riot that led to the deaths. Except, There was no riot. In fact, Vice President Cheney was in the Situation Room with President Bush and Secretary Rumsfeld as the whole scene unfolded, conning Ambassador John Bolton into going on those Sunday shows. Meanwhile, Senators Clinton, Obama, and Kerry all demand to know why Bush chose to blame our First Amendment when he knew all along the video didn't cause the attack. Meanwhile, Newsweek and similar drugstore brochures demand special prosecutors and resignations. The HBO film directed by Sean Penn called Blood on Your Hands wins an Emmy. The musical Bullets Over Benghazi garners a Tony. The 15,000-word poem by James Franco, though awful, wins a Pulitzer. The whole thing is bigger than Watergate, Watergate, and Watergate combined. My point, reverse parties and you can predict the media explosion. But instead, we got a slobbering mess marginalizing an attack to ensure a re-election, which is why a filmmaker remains in jail without the ACLU ever raising a finger. Hillary's treated like royalty for failing, and terrorists remain at large. The lesson in the media's world, Democrats and libs get to blame others, while Republicans and conservatives, they just get the blame.
Reese on the radio, we are back, top of the hour, 2 minutes after the hour, right here on blogtalkradio.com. Mary is already engaged in Hannity, listening to Hillary Clinton. Anyway.
First of all, isn't she the secretary?
Yeah, she claims she knew nothing. She's completely...
Well, Hillary Clinton, first of all, you obviously don't know anything, because you don't even know where to buy glasses at.
She's really playing the old lady thing up.
Come on.
She's
really,
been,
lady?
Harry's not.
You couldn't even get anti-glare coating put on the cover lens?
All right, with the language. Jeez. Anyway.
Hey, what's his name?
It's a
pussy all the time.
Who's that?
What's his name?
White
King,
Mike?
King from Club Nouveau.
Anyway.
Well, I can say the
F word. Anyway. Whatever. Well, so let me move on. Maite Teo, folks. Manti Teo. Is that what it is? Manti Teo? Is that what you want me to say, Mary? Manti Teo.
How would I want you to say that?
F it. Anyway. So he did an interview that's supposed to air tomorrow. I'm not going to grab the audio tomorrow. I'm not even going to watch it. Again, the most interesting parts of the conversation have already been played on Good Morning America and every other news site. They've all aired it. Katie Kirk wants everybody to watch it, so they aired a little bit of it so they can put it on. Oprah did not do that in the Lance Armstrong case because she wanted everybody to tune in. She didn't want to give anything up. She wouldn't give anything up. She just went around talking, giving interviews, giving a very, just comments. Well, what he said was very interesting, and I was very surprised at some of the things he said. You know, she didn't want to give any, she didn't reveal anything, so she wanted everybody to see. I still haven't heard the ratings from that, by the way, JC. If you can find out what the ratings were for Oprah and Lance Armstrong last week, I'd appreciate it. I want to see what those numbers were. She got 3.5 for Bobby Christina. I want to see what she got for Lance Armstrong. Anyway, that being said, there's a trend happening, folks, a scary and unsettling trend that's happening. And that is men seeking the comfort of women's daytime talk shows to redeem themselves. They're going on these programs to talk to Oprah and Katie when they're busted in some sort of scandal. And I'm not understanding. I mean, if what it is that you do appeals to men, like football or in Lance Armstrong, in any sport, women don't really check out these sports. They do, but it's in a small number. You're seeking out this female audience to get some sort of redemption. I guess maybe you can argue that because, you know, women control the purse strings. Because the markets show that it's women most likely to spend money on a product that you endorse, that is a direction that marketers like to go. up for ads, that women are the target audience. I'm sure that that's the reason why. But, I mean, if I'm Manti Te'o, I would go someplace like, let me see. I would go to a guy like Dr. Phil. I don't know why they don't, but that's where I would go. Dr. Phil is not just going to ask you important questions, but he's going to be kind of rough on you. He's going to ask you the questions that matter. Like, as a guy, he's not really trying to appeal to broads and sell you as some sort of a product, if you will. But I'm frightened. What's Katie Couric ever done in the field of college football? Like, why does she even know about this story? Like, what is, other than her extensive research, what has she got invested? What does her audience have invested in Manti Te'o on a Notre Dame Fighting Irish football team? What does that audience have invested in? Does this now mean that all of those middle-aged broads who watch, you know, nighttime and daytime soap operas, are these broads now going to be, you know, somewhat interested or invested in what it is that he does? Is he now finding a new audience because the other one has shunned him? Lance Armstrong, too. That to me, that was a punk move by him going on Oprah. You know, go to a place like ESPN. That's the place that breaks your story in sports, that is. You go and you deal with a guy like, what's his name? Jeremy Schapp. Who's the guy? Bob Lee. Bob Lee from Outside the Lines, great investigative reporter, sports reporter. Do something like, hey, go to Bryant Gumbel on HBO Sports. Why not go there? Holy crap. Oprah and Lance Armstrong, the worldwide exclusive, reaches 28 million viewers globally across all platforms. God damn. It says, Oprah and Lance Armstrong, the world exclusive, reaches 28 million viewers globally across all platforms.
Whatever. So did you see this thing that America's Freedom Watcher Watchdog put out?
I don't know who America's Freedom Watcher.
A picture of Michelle Obama that says fake hair. Then a picture of Beyonce that says fake singing.
Right.
Then a picture of the president that says fake president.
All right.
American way of life. Everything is fake.
Let me read this. It says, Los Angeles, over 28 million viewers watched Oprah Winfrey's no-hold-barred exclusive two-part interview with Lance Armstrong, Oprah and Lance Armstrong, the worldwide exclusive. Across all ratings, 12.2 million people tuned in to see the telecast on OWN in the U.S., with 15 million tuning in internationally in 18 countries that are rated across Discovery Networks and OWN Canada. And 800,000 unique viewers tuned in to watch the live interview stream online. Friday's Part 2 premiere at 9 p.m. marked the highest Friday telecast in OWN history across the key demos, with an average audience of 2.4 million viewers watching over the two telecasts. That's 1.8 million viewers at 9 p.m. and 620,000 viewers in the encore at 11:30 p.m. The premiere posted triple-digit growth across the key demos versus a year ago numbers, which were 311. That's between a women to 25 to 54 market. Thursday's Part 1 interview on OWN averaged 4.3 million viewers over the past two telecasts, with 3.2 million total viewers watching the premiere at 9 p.m. and an additional 1.1 million watching the encore at 10:30 p.m. So she did considerably better, JC, than she did with Bobby Christina. You should be impressed. Do you think that this will then make people watch the OWN network? Do you think she saved her network with this? I don't think so. I don't think she saved it at all. I think that network is going down like a sinking ship. I think the Titanic is coming, folks. It's only a matter of time. It has to be honest with you. In my personal view, it's got to come. The day has to come where the OWN network is over. My sister-in-law just... What? Oh, wow. All right. JC's got a personal issue. I apologize for that, JC. JC, if you're going to be cutting out, dude, you can please go ahead now, man. We will talk later.
No, I'm here. I'm here. There's nothing that we haven't talked about before. I understand. We kind of know what's coming.
Yeah. I understand. We kind of saw this one coming, didn't we?
Yeah. And my kids are acting as though that, you know, it wasn't coming. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
no, that's
well,
understandable.
But you know, it's weird. Not only to stray away from the subject matter of the show, but it's not as though my kids aren't immune. I don't want to say immune to it.
Right.
Because they've lived through. At least 5 deaths within the past 10 years of people that are really, really close to them.
Wow.
But this is auntie, so I'm going to cut out because,
okay.
Well, especially baby boy, he's flipping out.
I can only imagine. But anyway, we'll get back. We'll take a break now, man. Do
I
what
sent
you
a link
do,
to
man.
Those ratings as well.
Say again?
I sent you a link to those ratings.
Yeah, I literally just read them on air.
Okay, good. Okay.
All right, we'll take a break.
Thanks,
this from Rolling Stones. We'll take a break. We'll be back shortly. It's Reese on the Radio. And JC, my condolences, man. All right, we'll be back. It's Reese on the Radio. Reese on the Radio right here live on blogtalkradio.com. Just in case, folks, if you haven't heard, 2 days, last day of Reese on the Radio on Blog Talk Radio. We are leaving the network on Friday. Friday will be our last show. We're going to take a month-long hiatus. We've got to get some things in order so that WAC FM will be up and running and ready to go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Okay, we may not do 7 days. Okay, we might take off on the weekends. But if somebody wants to do a weekend show, we'll allow them to do it. It's going to be a whole new brand. WAC FM will be online. And the best part about it is that you'll be able to listen anywhere you want to and at any time that you want to. There'll be rebroadcasts of Reese on the Radio. We will also be connecting our service. If I get this right, and I'm almost certain I've got this right, we're going to connect the service to Skype so you'll still be able to call in. You'll just call the Reese on the Radio Skype line, which will be a regular number. And you can call in from your cell phone, whatever. We'll still do the same thing. You'll be able to talk on the air. It'll be a number. We'll run it anytime we want. We'll be able to talk about, do anything. We'll have a broader range of doing things that we want to do financially, fiscally, stuff like that that are somewhat limited to Blog Talk Radio. Nothing against them because they've been great with, for us for a year. They had some, you know, bumps and bruises that we had to go through, but we did. We had a great time 1 year. We got to move on to the next project. We got to make it bigger. We got to make it stronger. We got to make it faster. That's what it is that we're doing. One thing that I want to note, and I don't talk about this much, probably because I always say to myself that I don't have a lot of knowledge on the subject. So if I may, if you'll indulge me a little bit, I want to say something about something. I have no personal tragedy in my life related to cancer. I have not. The closest that it's ever come to me or involved in my life or with my family was my Aunt Ann. And she lived in North Carolina at the time. I'm not going to use the word estranged. Pardon me, I can't even get that out. She wasn't estranged. She just lived in North Carolina. And she kept in touch with my mom. She kept in touch with my grandmother. But I did not have a strong relationship with my cousin, Russell. He and I were not close. When we were little kids, we were. But as I grew older, you know, those relationships grew apart. They weren't people that we saw during Christmas or holidays. So I was far removed when my Aunt Ann died of lung cancer. So it never really affected me in a way that I see it affect other people, because there are people that I know now personally who have very close relationships with people who are stricken with this disease, and they're dealing with the loss of people and loved ones that, you know, it's happening to. I just want to say that I'm grateful that I've not had to deal with that tragedy. I'm saddened that my friends and my loved ones do. But it is, for me, one thing has happened, and it's scary. I don't want to use the word jinx. I don't want to point this out. But the more and more I'm starting to see it today, when I'm hearing more and more people stricken with this disease and how it's affecting them and it's affecting their family, I'm extremely concerned about whether or not I'm reaching that age in my life where some of the people that I know and that I love may have to deal with this, and it will affect me personally. I'm concerned about that because I don't know how it is that I will deal with it. I don't deal with loss well. I don't deal with funerals very well. And I'm not suggesting I'm one of those people who goes to funerals and I'm falling all over the casket and I'm acting a fool. I'm not saying that. I said I'm not very good. I'm not very good.
You're
I'm not very good. And when I break down at funerals or things like that, it ain't pretty. It's not pretty. It's,
have you broken down at funerals?
Well, let me just put it to you this way.
Why?
No. What I'm saying is that, you know, death is something that's really tough for me to deal with. It's And as it does for anybody else, it makes us question our own mortality. Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. It makes us start looking on that and that fear you have. When I say what it does to me is absolutely indescribable because, you know, I could become a hermit crab after the fact. I'm not, like I say, I'm not good at it because I think that if you've ever If you've never seen, depression, please don't let me be the person you see it in. You don't want to see it in me because it's frightening. It's scary to me. And I'm just grateful. I just want to say that I'm grateful that I've never, ever had to deal with this on a personal level. And people who have had to deal with it, and I see it in their eyes, and I see it in their tears, and I feel it in within them and hear it in their voice, that it's, you know, I'm saddened for you. Please understand that I am saddened for you. And I know that I am lucky that I don't have to be there or be in that position where I have to watch someone deteriorate like that.
Yes, you are.
Not in the way that you think. So I just want to make sure that I said that. That I feel for you and those who are dealing with that in their lives. May God bless your family members and you, each and every one of you who are dealing with that. I just want to let you know that I don't turn away from that kind of tragedy. It just makes me think really, really, really hard. And it doesn't just make me sad. I don't want to use the word sad. It doesn't make me sad. It just pulls at me. Now, I'm not the type of guy that sees something on television and in the movies. I know I rag on Mary about that. Mary gets very emotional when she watches something on TV that's sad, and she'll burst right into tears. That's the type of person that she is. I don't want to use the word emotional because I don't mean that as an insult, but she's sensitive to those types of things and they affect her. I, on the other hand, I'll laugh them off and I'll kind of joke with her and rib her about it. But when somebody dies unexpectedly, out of nowhere, loses their life to something as harsh and as horrible as cancer.
Well, cancer's not really out of nowhere.
Well, it grows, but I'm just saying it's, you know, some people, they find out that they have it, it pops up out of nowhere. You go and get a breast exam, you find out it's there. You go and get a checkup, all of a sudden you find out it's there. I mean, that kind of stuff can really be devastating. So I'm just going to say that I feel for you, especially having experienced a life-changing situation. So for somebody to come there, for somebody to go through life not knowing something and have something like that happen to him and hit him like a ton of bricks, I know that experience, you know, considering, you know, what one day, next day I was in jail. Your whole life is freaking affected when that happens, when you have a life-changing experience. And when you have to deal with something like cancer, that's something that hits you like a ton of bricks. It's a bus coming out of nowhere. And you know, we lost someone today. Someone I didn't know extremely well, but I did know them. I got a chance to meet them, got a chance to converse with them, break bread with them, and they're dealing with a loss today. And I just want to acknowledge that and show my love and send my condolences to them. All right, we'll come back and we'll finish off the show. It's Reese on the Radio. We'll be right back.
I tell you what you get? You get away from me. You get away from me. Well, that is that.
Reese on the radio. 20 minutes to the top of the hour. Just 2 days to go. We're almost out of here. Mary was asking the question. I think Dennis, the masked menace, was asking, in regards to the show going off the air after Friday's show, whether or not you could still listen to the archives. The archives will still be there. You'll be able to listen to each and every one of them. They're still there. They're stored. The account is there. I could actually do a 30-minute show because just on an update when you create an account on Blog Talk Radio to give you an update. I will be doing that, but the problem is that it won't be airing at 8 o'clock. I think that there's a prime time issue with what's name is like after before 8 o'clock you have to do it. It's like sometime around 6 or 7 or something around that. But anyway, Sal, thank you, by the way. I appreciate the instant message. Let's get Sal. I'm sorry, Sally. Dennis the Mass Menace on the line. Dennis.
Yeah, the first thing I wanted to say is my deepest condolences to JC and his family.
Thank you.
There's nothing more he really can say.
Right. Absolutely, and I know he'll appreciate that. You know, he's developed a kinship with you guys, you know, White Mike, Sally D., and yourself, so you know, he and Edward in Connecticut, right? So you guys, you know, you're all a family to us. So, you know, like
I already sent him a message privately, and he responded.
You did good.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean that's, you know, it's just one of those things.
Yeah.
Now
moving along.
Yeah.
I don't want to drag the show and
neither. No, you're not. Don't worry about it.
I was wondering, since it's the end of Blog Talk, can you give us a walk through what it is you do to set up and what do you see in the screen and what's the setup on a computer and what are the inner workings of the recent radio show?
The inner workings here, the breakdown is this, is that you get a regular screen and what they have here is a broadcast booth, if you will. There are several elements, and I think I'm going to take a picture to show you guys what it looks like, what the whole setup looks like on Blog Talk Radio. You get a compartment where you have one on the left-hand side of the screen. It tells you how long you have on the air. Like right now, it tells me I have 18 minutes, 15, 14 seconds. My name shows up on the top as the host, and then your telephone numbers all show up on a screen going down. I can move over my mouse and click you guys on, off, talk to you privately off the air. I can do that. Then in the center, all of my audio clips. If I want to put in some audio of a conversation or an interview or anything like that, or music, that's all scrolled down. So I have to scroll up and down to find the music that I want, or I can search it on a separate search. And to my right of that screen, I can promote the show directly to Twitter, Facebook, and type anything I want. Listen to Reese on the Radio now. It'll show up on my Facebook or on my Twitter account. And then put in stuff like my episode info, what's going to be on the show and all that stuff. So it's really, really simple.
It's self-explanatory.
It is, right. It's really self-explanatory when you see it. Very easy. And I even have a guest call in. I click another button and I can dial somebody in. I can call somebody if I want to put them on the air.
So you're telling me it's so simple even Poverty Supreme could do it.
He said it's so simple even Poverty Supreme could do it. Yeah. It simplifies the system. But what we're going to be using, what's great, is that what we're going to be using with WAC FM is that we're going to be using a real broadcast system. The software application that the professionals use. And I won't even have to sit on this computer. I won't even have to sit at a computer. Everything will be programmed ahead of time. All I have to do is just push one button to turn my mic on. And that's it. It's done.
Well, do you have any more problems with the breakups? Because you just
None.
Came over air breakup now.
None.
Just for
that's
moment.
The beauty of that's the beauty of what it is that we're gonna do at WAC FM, because the only time there will ever be any breakup is if I have a power outage. And even then, you know, I'll find some network if I could to stream through that, but it shouldn't even be an issue.
Now, what's this hip hop folder wall you're doing? I see you posting it in the afternoon. I click the thing, and all I do is get a screen full of other artists, and there's nothing. And
okay,
I'm certainly
well,
not going to scroll through hip hop. You know me.
You don't have to. Here's what it is that you do. If you go to that page or go to tunein.com, the show airs from 1 o'clock till 4 o'clock. My talk breaks, if you will, where I'm talking to the audience, is every quarter of the hour. Top of the hour, 15, 30, and 45. So if you don't want to listen to the hip-hop, if that's not your game, all you have to do is just turn... If you don't want to do that, just turn it up every 15 minutes, right on cue. I will be right there.
Now, the other thing, I've noticed that you've never had on-air ads. Are you allowed under contract?
Absolutely.
On the Blog Talk and the other thing?
Absolutely. In fact, on the Blog Talk thing, what's interesting is that Blog Talk has a thing that's called a revenue share. Now, the only thing about the revenue share thing that I don't particularly like, is that it does not in any way, it's not really the best way to obtain anything. You can't really obtain that much monetarily on it. Here's where the problem lies, is that it's 25 cents per 500 clicks. In other words, if you're listening
to
my
show. So you can't sell airtime. It has to go through them.
Oh, no. I can, if I decide to sell airtime, I can. But in order to do that, I have to purchase a package on Blog Talk Radio that's in upwards of $599.
Well, piss on that. Like to see in the Marines.
Yeah, you have to pay a large amount of money in order for me. So then I have to pay them.
So that means there won't be any more no Super Bowl ads for Budweiser on your show.
Exactly. but you won't have to deal with that at all. And so I was getting my revenue based upon if you logged on to my show and you were listening to it and then you clicked on one of the ads, I would get a revenue share based upon how many people clicked onto an ad that was on my show. So if nobody ever clicked onto an ad that was on my show and they only wanted to listen to me, what did that mean? That means I got no revenue share. So what am I paying all that money for? It only matters on whether or not you decide to click it. It's not worth it.
Yeah, and the best is you sell the ad and you keep it. I mean, you bought
exactly.
The blog.
If I sell the ad, I can keep it.
That's why Facebook tanks.
Yeah, that's exactly the reason why Facebook tanks. But here's the best part about it. See, if you're listening to me on WAC FM, if I'm selling airtime to an individual, I can sell them airtime at a cost that's way better than what anybody else is charging. That's one. And the best part about that is that if I run, I'll give you a perfect example. Let's say the price of the airtime is $25, right? Run an ad for $25. That's pennies on the dollar what you pay on any other level. Run the ad at $25. And you sell it at a package of six times you run the ad, it's $100. 12 times, $200.
Which leads me to the next question. You don't have obviously you don't have Arbitron.
You don't have
meter?
What?
You don't have Arbitron. So where's the meter?
Oh,
how do you know?
That's the best part. I do have Arbitron.
Oh, you do.
Absolutely, with the broadcast software, it tells me 100% how many people are listening to the show in real time.
And can you go back and determine where your peak?
Absolutely.
So you can determine, in other words, simulcast the show, and you can tell what was the hot issues that brought in the listeners. And what kept them, and how long did they stay?
Just like you can with Arbitron.
Nice.
And what was great about that, in fact, this particular meter that they're using on this broadcast system that I'll be using, what's brilliant about this broadcast system that we're using is when I was on WRKO, remember you used to tell everyone if you can't get us because we're a local show, listen to us online.
Right.
WRKO, when I would go to the IT department, I would ask them each week for a breakdown of people who listen to the show online. Now, theirs was a little bit advanced because not only could they tell when they were listening, because I could tell when they were listening between 10 and 12 when I was on the air, but I could also get data on what city they were listening in.
Now, that's a great marketing tool. So when you're going to focus your ad and your demographic, it's, you can't beat that.
Exactly. When I found out...
Is that your demographic?
I don't know. When I found out that there were people listening to me in South Carolina, in fact, I remember one day I did a show called Mandingo Politics when I was talking about how Michelle Obama Hillary Clinton was ripping on Barack Obama, and Barack Obama was getting much more attention than her, and it was the black man versus the white woman, and I called it Mandingo Politics. I got a phone call from a company in South Carolina. Turns out they were listening to the show online in a conference room together, and they called up the show, and they said, man, I'm from South – it was a bunch of white guys from South Carolina. I said, man, I'm from South Carolina, man. He said, I'm from the deep South. He said, man, I ain't never heard of no Mandingo Politics. What the hell are you talking about? I'll never forget that. And I was baffled because I said, where are you calling from? South Carolina, man. We listen to your show online every day. That's the way he was talking.
No, that's not how they talk.
I'm mimicking.
He was talking like Mary is now.
What you talking about with Mandingo Politics?
But,
we think like that chicken, Dami.
When he said it, I mean, the fact that he even had the notion to call in from South Carolina, I felt great because I was like, wow, it's like we're reaching all over the place. And, you know, that's the best part about doing this online is because we can promote it with the revenue that we get. We'll be able to promote it anywhere we want to, and we'll be able to buy advertising anywhere we want to promote the show.
Now, with the Blog Talk, can you recall in the past year what show gave you your best rating, your best demo?
I can tell you right now.
Demographic.
I can tell you right now the show, I can break down every complete show based upon, because not only can I break it down, what makes this particular, this database interesting is, let me give you a perfect example. If I were to want to list it by how many people listen online, where did I get the most people listening online? It was August 13th, 2012, the day before my birthday, was the largest audience we had online.
What was the subject?
Say again?
What was the subject on the 13th?
The day before I had to go to court to find out whether or not I was going to trial.
Ah, so everybody was listening to see, you know, tune in and shall he be back and what's going on.
Exactly.
And it wasn't just friendlies.
Right. Now, the largest audience I had on the phone, like how many people called into the show, one live broadcast, was August 24th, 2012.
And that was the night we had Sean Quigley.
Exactly. That was the night we were on the air with the new Black Panther Party.
For the second time,
exactly.
When they called me a white devil.
Yeah. They called Mary a white devil. The largest audience that we've had of anyone listening to the archives, in other words, going back and listening to the show afterwards, our largest audience was December 20th, 2012. Now, I looked this up. I don't know why, because it was the last show that we did before we went on our Christmas break. Here's what it was. I wrote the category. It says, did you miss yesterday's show? We'll let you get on the conversation today. Have we become a victimhood society?
I remember that.
And plus, a Michigan school district closes 33 schools over the Mayan apocalypse.
I remember that show.
Remember that show?
Yeah.
That was our largest listened to show that in archives. In other words, people who went back to listen to the show. Let me just put it to you this way to give you a scheme of numbers. Our largest archive show, it was 1,288 listeners.
That's pretty good for an non-advertised show off
Absolutely.
The air. Given the competition, too.
Underneath that, at 1,038, was December 27, 2012. Big news, folks. Sorry, hold on. Sorry. Sorry about that.
I mean, Piers Morgan should get these numbers.
Right, exactly. Yeah, for an online show, this is good. Big news, folks. The case is coming to an end in the next 2 weeks. The Obama administration has been caught in the biggest lie of all. We know the details of the Libya attack, but will the press report it before the crucial debates? Wait until you hear the audio of the woman in Cleveland, Ohio, supporting President Obama over her cell phone. It's the Obama phone, lady. That was our second highest archive show. So that was 1,000.
Speaking of her, you know she is dissing Obama now.
Yeah, I know. She's against him. Sally D's on the line. Sorry, Sal. I didn't mean to keep you so long.
I'm sorry. I was listening to the conversation, and actually a lot of the things I was thinking that you guys touched on, it's been a fun ride. But obviously, you know, you need to look at bigger things and better opportunities. But the one thing I got to say for this type of environment in this show was that it was Reese Hopkins Unfiltered, because of the very fact that you didn't have to concern yourself with sponsors and advertising. You could pretty much say whatever the heck you wanted and talk about anything at any given time. And I think that was really a special kind of situation to be a part of. So it was fantastic, but I'm looking forward to see what now you will be doing the thing at night at all. It will be a night show, right?
Yeah, it's still going to be a night show. We're still going to do it the way that we did it, but man, it's going to be so much easier to control. Now, and it'll be much more smoother. We're going to do imaging and everything. It's just going to be the way it runs. I promise you guys, you're going to love it. It'll sound better. It'll feel better.
And what's the need for the month? You just need time to develop a lot of the media for it and the sound.
Yeah, the sound. They're pretty much right. It's pretty much imaging. We call it imaging in the business, you know, making the sound. You got, you know, I'll have a couple of people do some sound bites. Hey, you're listening to Reese on the radio. You're listening to WAC FM, the official home of Reese on the radio. You know, we'll do a lot of imaging stuff like that. We'll have like a voice of WAC FM that, you know, we'll get somebody to do. JC's got a guy who's going to be doing the voice of WAC FM for us. So we'll do stuff like that. Hey, before we go,
intros, outros, and bumpers.
Show bumpers, exactly. Edward in Connecticut's on the line. Hey, what's up, Edward?
Hey, I just caught the last part of the show, and I just wondered if, I don't know, JC is still listening, just, you know, giving my deepest condolences to him and his family. It's a really terrible situation.
Thank you. Yeah. Hey, by the way, Edward is a huge part of our archive listens, by the way. I want to thank you, Edward, for making us such a hit.
I think I've listened to almost every show.
What's that, Edward?
I said I think I've listened to pretty much every show.
Really?
Yeah, when I'm at work.
Oh, man,
I
Sal, you too, right?
Yeah, I put it to an MP3 stick and put it in my car.
Oh, get out. You guys make me feel so great.
There's one thing I'd like you to do, Reese, if you could.
Yeah.
It'll take a little work. It's almost like a gag reel, but have an audio gag reel. The best of Reese, when you had some of your wacky guests and screaming and shouting and put it all together, and maybe you can make a great show for that.
You know what? You're absolutely right. I've downloaded some great stuff, especially with Mike, and I got one audio I listened to yesterday with Sally D in the house. I'll never forget that one. I got that one.
I mean, me and Mike went at it, and then you had Poverty Supreme, and then the Black Panther guy, and then you had Matus wondering what race you were, and those are some of the good.
Oh yeah, that's right. Those are great ones. Yeah, you know what? I've got to go through all of it because I got to download all of a year worth of audio so I can set up the imaging for the show. So I'm going to be spending a lot of time over the next month doing a lot of that. And, of course, I'll be doing the midday show. Hey, Edward, what do you think of the midday show? Too much hip-hop, not enough me?
No, you know what? Actually, I'm not too disappointed with the music. It's a nice mixture. You know, it's not a lot of that crazy hip-hop that I don't really, you know, listen to.
Well, I'll give it to them. They do mix a little bit of hip-hop today. I was stunned. He played some Maroon 5. I was pretty
– Yeah,
I was pretty,
exactly.
He
did
play Kelly Clarkson today.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's a nice mix. It's not just, you know, bang, bang, shooting them up, nigga die slow. So, you know, I've been enjoying it.
Well, thank you,
that's
guys.
One way of putting it.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it, man. We will see you guys tomorrow, of course. Same bat time, same bat channel. Edward in Connecticut, Sally D in Massachusetts, and Dennis the Mass Menace. For JC, the producer, we wish you all the best, my friend, and our condolences from each and every one of us. And Mary, Mary, why are you bugging? I'm Reese on the radio. We'll see you tomorrow. Same bad time, same bad channel. I don't know. That's it. Holler.
But the E and D, follow me into the sun and let the song ring. The E and D, the E and D.